I'd like to invite everyone else to take your Bibles and open to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. When we think of the omnipotence of God, we think of Him doing great and mighty works. We think of Him having all power to do everything. We think of Him doing miracles, the Almighty, Omnipotent God. Exodus chapter 14 gives to us one of those such instances in the life here, the history of man, in which God's people found themselves in a strait, in a very difficult spot. And as we see what God was doing there, it's just kind of a springboard for us to get into talking more about His omnipotence. If you'll stand with me while we read the scriptures, Exodus chapter 14, I'm going to begin reading at verse 10. We'll read a few verses, then we'll skip a few and finish up with a couple. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 10. This is when the Egyptians are now chasing after the Hebrews who have just left the country after the 10 plagues and death of the firstborn, and they're heading out through the wilderness and they've come up to the Red Sea. And so when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward." Now down to verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. You may be seated. This is one of those great accounts in the scriptures that we love to read. We love to hear about this. We love to see how God provided for His people. They got their backs are up against a rock, so to speak. They're between the rock and a hard place. The sea is in front of them. The Egyptians are behind them. There's nowhere else to go. The Egyptians are angry, and so they feel like they're probably just going to get slaughtered out there in the wilderness. And as was the case then for 40 years, every time they thought that, they began to complain to Moses, and sometimes then to even threaten him. But as we see, God had a plan here to establish in these people's hearts and minds, though that should have already been established. They saw 10 mighty miracles in the land of Egypt. And yet here, as they come out within a few days and weeks, they are already beginning to doubt the God that had brought them. You know, it's really interesting, too. Some of the things that they were saying that they told Moses, "Did not we say this back there in Egypt? Leave us alone. We don't want to go anywhere. We just want to stay here." Right. That's not what they were saying. They wanted a deliverer. They were praying to God to deliver them from Egypt. They were praying to God to get all of this burden off of them and all of this fear that they were experiencing. And so for them to say, "You know, we told you this, Moses." And really, that's not what's been recorded for us in the scriptures. And so here it is that Moses holds his rod up over the sea, and the wind begins to blow, and the waters are pushed back, and the ground is dried out, and they walk across on the dry ground. We know the story. We're reminded about the omnipotence that was able to do that, and the omnipotence that brought him to that point from those miracles that had taken place back in Egypt. Miracles that were against each of the gods of Egypt. God showing he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So Israel's deliverance at the Red Sea begins to set the stage for us as we realize that God has this mighty power that he can use for our benefit. There's so many declarations of his omnipotence in the scripture. I'm just going to touch on a few of them. We've got to be reminded about the creation in Genesis 1 and everything that God created there. And the Bible just says, God said, let there be, and everything then turned out to be the way he had said. Let there be light. Let there be the land. Let there be the plants on that land. Let there be the animals there. He said, let us make man in our image. So God was showing his omnipotence even in creation. He created the sun and the moon and the stars also. God's omnipotence. How we would love to just show our scientific community like NASA that if you go to Genesis 1 and you'll just go with an open mind and read, you'll find out how all of this world, this universe was created because of the omnipotent God. But then God works in individual lives too. And later on in Genesis chapter 17, he's telling Abraham about how he's going to be having a son. Now Abraham, or Abram at that point, is 99 years old. And he's thinking, it ain't working, God. 99, we're not having a baby. And Sarah's too old, I'm too old. And God says, no, I am God Almighty. And so he's establishing with Abram the very fact, I am the omnipotent God, and I've declared you're going to have a son. And you will, at this time next year, have that son. When we read over in Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 1 is introducing to us Jesus Christ and how he is so much better than everything else there is in the world. He's better than the angels. He's better than anything that has been done here on earth. Jesus Christ is always the best. He is better. And it says in verse 3 how he is upholding all things by the word of his power. You say, how does he do that? I don't know. I just know that he woke up from a sleep in a boat out on the Sea of Galilee and he said, peace, be still, and the sea was still. I know that as the scriptures teach us that all of this universe is held together by our God. It kind of amazes me that if it was all created by a big bang, how is there such a uniformity in the orbits of all of the planets so precise that our scientists can figure the mathematical calculations that when you want to send a rover to the planet of Mars, you know when you need to launch that thing, you know when it's going to arrive because everything is so precise because God is the one who keeps it that way. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians a couple of things there about God's omnipotence. He said, again in the first chapter, referring to the things, how we have everything in Christ, and he said the exceeding greatness of his power is toward us. This omnipotent, almighty God desires to do things in your life and my life. He desires to use that omnipotence when it is according to his will. We don't have to feel like we're out on a limb that's about to break and there's nothing else that is going to help us or support us. We have a great God. In fact, he even told, I believe it was Jeremiah, that underneath are the everlasting hands of God. In chapter 3 of that book of Ephesians, Paul said that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ask. He said, well, I was kind of praying for that lottery prize, you know, 570 some million dollars and did anyone put that tithe check in the offering today from that? Yeah, I don't think so. I hadn't heard that anybody locally had won that. He said, well, you know, he's able to give us abundantly above what we ask and what we think. Not only what we verbalize, but what we think in our heart. If it's according to his will, He is able to give that to us. What does God want to give to you? There's no purpose probably in giving to us such wealth, but God gives to us so many other blessings. In Matthew chapter 3, we've been looking at John the Baptist here the last few weeks in our Wednesday night Bible study. And John said to some of those people that had come out from Jerusalem to hear him, to see what he was doing out there, and he said to them, think not, you know, that you're just showing up here, that, you know, this is going to be good for you guys, because God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. You remember how Jesus said on his triumphal entry to the Pharisees that if the people should hold their peace, the stones would cry out? You see, the omnipotence of God can control even the inanimate objects of our world. Romans 4:17, Paul getting into some doctrinal matters there, and he says how God quickens the dead, and he calls those things which be not, as though they were. That's kind of what happened in creation. God called forth things to be which were not until he called it forth. And he formed it and shaped it into the world and the universe that we know. A little bit later on in that same account with Abram and Sarah, the first time there that I just mentioned, God was speaking to Abram. Then he's speaking to Abram and Sarah. And Sarah heard that they were going to have a child. And she's in the tent and she's chuckling. She's laughing. Me? Have a child? I'm 90 years old. We usually don't think of 90-year-olds having babies. 90-year-olds probably don't want babies. But God said to the both of them then, is anything too hard for Jehovah? They thought that was just impossible. You know, God's telling a joke out there around the campfire. No, is there anything too hard for Jehovah? And then Jesus told his disciples, after the rich young ruler had walked away, and they marveled, and they wondered, well, then who can be saved? Sometimes maybe we've wondered after we've spoken to somebody many times over years, you know, I don't know if they'll ever get saved. Jesus said, with God all things are possible, in reference to those salvation of those kind of hearts. With God all things are possible to change a heart. So there's all kinds of declarations in the scriptures of God's omnipotence. We have to be reminded of that. We have to believe that. We have to accept what this is what the scriptures say. God is omnipotent. He is almighty. But then we begin to look at some of the examples of the using of that omnipotent power. And I've already mentioned some of those things. The using of it in creation. The using of it in the flood, causing a worldwide flood. The using of it in those plagues in Egypt, the opening of the Red Sea, the provisions for 40 years while they were there in the wilderness. Omnipotence that was happening, but the people did not see it because their clothes did not wear out. They didn't see it day by day. Their shoes did not wear out. Now, they saw the manna provided for them every day. That was, again, that's omnipotence. But some of those things, they did not notice it every day, but maybe after a while, oh, you realize what God's done for us? And that's the way it is in our lives. Omnipotence is working in our lives, and we just don't notice it until we get to a certain point, and maybe we look back, and we say, wow, the Lord was really providing for me there. That's omnipotence. When they got into the land, the walls of Jericho fell down in a way in which they should never have fallen down. And so oftentimes we call these things miracles. We say, well, that was a miracle that happened. And as we think of those miracles, you know, Jesus healing so many people, he'd go to so many different towns and villages, the word would get out that he was there, the prophet from Nazareth is there. And so so many times the scriptures say he healed everyone that was brought to him. But he didn't heal every sick person in the country. But he did heal everyone that was brought to him. Jesus turned that water into wine. That was his first miracle that's recorded for us. He took a boy's small lunch and he fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. He said that when he died, he would raise himself after the third day, and he did. You see, the use of his omnipotent power was used almost every day in his earthly ministry here for the benefit of people. But what do we do when there's an absence of omnipotence? When omnipotence doesn't show up, what do we do then? I was reminded as I was preparing for this many years ago when we were in Greenville, South Carolina, and one of our church families, a young family, they had a little boy, a toddler, and he had swallowed one of the Fisher-Price toys, the Fisher-Price people, and it was caught in his throat. And he was choking and suffocating right there in his bedroom. By the time the ambulance got there, after a bit, they got the little toy dislodged, but he had not been breathing for a long time. They immediately got him hooked up on life support, rushed him to the hospital. We had a church probably of 300 or 400 people at that time. And this is before all the security measures that we see today, before 9/11, before COVID pandemics, before all kinds of things. And so that hospital hallway was lined with people sitting on the floor praying for this little baby. There was a little chapel down on the main floor. It was full and overflowing. People were out in the lobby. People were everywhere. We probably had over 100 people in those hallways of that church, of that hospital, praying. And the baby died. They unhooked the machines. Where was omnipotence? Oh, hearts were broken, not just of the family, but of the church too. I can still see that funeral service in my mind. Where was omnipotence? The baby could have been saved. It didn't happen. I've heard the stories of people who have rushed to their basement because a tornado was coming their way, and as they were in that basement huddled in a corner, they were praying for God's protection of themselves and of their house as the house is being ripped away over their heads. Where was the omnipotence of this great God? Could he not have turned that tornado away from that house and then taken out some other houses? Where was omnipotence? Where's omnipotence on the battlefield as life begins to ebb away and a soldier dies? Where was the omnipotence when Jesus made reference in Luke chapter 13 about a tower in Siloam that fell and a number of people were killed? Could not God have stopped that tower from falling? Could he not have gotten the people out of there, done something to get them out? Absence of omnipotence. Where was omnipotence when David walked out on a balcony and he saw Bathsheba taking a bath? Where was omnipotence to make somebody knock at the door as David was about to go out onto the balcony and turn and go back to see who was there, giving her time to finish her bath and be away? Where was omnipotence? Where was the omnipotence when the serpent began to speak to Eve and to begin to fill her mind with doubts and with lies? Where was omnipotence in Matthew chapter 19 when Jesus was approached by that rich young ruler and Christ had gone through that conversation with him about keeping the law? And he's, oh, yes, 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 I've done all of that since I was a youth. And Jesus said, well, you lack one thing. Go and sell everything that you have, then come and follow me. And the young man could not do that because he was rich. And he walked away. And the disciples marveled, oh, he was a perfect example of a Christian. Who then can be saved? Where was omnipotence to turn that young man's heart to faith in Christ? You see, God doesn't use his omnipotence to change every rebellious heart. Where was omnipotence in the life of Job? Actually, omnipotence had stepped back and had told Satan, you can go this far, but no further. But in Job chapter 2, Job said to his wife, after she had said, you know, again, curse God and die, he said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and we not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? You see, Job was brokenhearted, but he had more of a spiritual perception, though he did not understand why all of this had happened to him. I don't think he ever did. I don't think he ever knew why these tragedies fell upon him until he got to heaven himself. But what we have to realize is that as God has this omnipotence, and we've seen so many of the examples of it right here in Scripture today. We saw it as we read the opening section here about crossing of the Red Sea. Wow, what omnipotence. But he doesn't always use it. And tragedies occur. Psalm 115 says, but our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. We begin to learn God uses his omnipotence according to his will, not ours. Oh, there's so many things we'd like to see him do a miracle in our lives, but it has to be according to his will. Paul said in Ephesians, first chapter again, Christ works all things after the counsel of his own will. You know, that begins to tell us we need to have our lives, we need to be living a godly life. We need to be living a surrendered life. A life that is submitted to God's will in my life, because when my will is in line with his will, now his will can begin to bless. Because he will bless when it is according to his will. And so that unrepented sin that we have in our life, you're holding back the blessings of God. And some of those kinds of things, you might be living in dangerous territory. Oh, how we should desire to have a life that is so godly and that we're in so much of alignment with not only the Lord, but with his word. Because if we're living contrary to clear principles and commands of the scriptures, we're not in his will. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And omnipotence does not imply that he has to exercise all of his power in everything. Oh, he's omnipotent, but he doesn't have to use it. God has chosen to limit his power because he gave to us a free will. And we can rebel. And we can work against God and against his will and against his works. And God said, I'm going to give them a free will, and if this is the route they choose to take, then so be it. That's what's going to happen. And God has put a certain set of laws in order or in place. That when you do this, then this is what happens. When you do that, that's what happens. And so he's chosen to limit some of his omnipotence. You know, the devil told him, jump off the pinnacle of the temple. The pinnacle of the temple was not necessarily some high tower, but there was a corner of the temple grounds that faced Mount of Olives. It was over 200 feet high. And that's what a lot of the folks think, that that was referred to as the pinnacle of the temple. And Satan says, jump off here, and your angels, the Bible says your angels will catch you before you get to the bottom. Jesus did not do that. And it's not very smart for us to get to a place like that and say, well, God's promised he's going to take care of me, so I'm going to jump off. It's not going to happen that way. God has put a law of gravity in motion. It's going to do its thing. God has put the character of rocks to be harder than our bodies. And God has said, I'm not going to use my omnipotence for foolishness like that. And that's something we got to remember. God's not going to make something wrong or something right that was made wrong out of a poor decision. God's not going, you know, some people say, well, God can do anything. So he can make a rock that is so heavy he can't pick it up. No, that's the foolishness stuff. So God's not going to use his omnipotence to prove circus-type antics or foolishness on our part. So he has power over his power. He's not just going to use his power every time, everything, for everything that needs to be done. His power is under the control of his will. You know, we have power. Every one of us. We have power in our lives. The problem is sometimes we don't let that power, we call it liberty. We don't put that liberty under the control of God's will. And so we're using that liberty as a license to do something that is foolish. Listen to this statement. God can do all he will, but will not do all he can. God can do all that he wills. You want to make light? He can make light. You want to make a moon? He can make the moon. You want to make a sun? He can make the sun. God can do all that he wills, but he will not do all that he can. He could have fixed every problem every one of us has had, but he's chosen not to. He's chosen to let us work through some of them. He's chosen us to suffer the consequences of some of them. So why was omnipotence not used? Sometimes it's because of a bad decision on our part or on the part of those who are affected. You know, driving too fast causes people to lose control of their cars. And you say, well, why didn't God stop that accident from happening? Well, somebody was doing something they shouldn't have been doing. And God's not always going to correct that, because that's what they chose to do. Or somebody was being careless with equipment and they lost a finger, a hand, or an arm. I've worked 20 years in industrial settings. And in some of those settings, I saw coworkers lose limbs because of the equipment. They did something they weren't supposed to do. They put their arm or their hand somewhere, and that was against the rules for safety, and they found out why. Sometimes people just have an attitude that mocks the danger that's lurking there. Having the wrong kinds of friends. The danger of certain attitudes that we have in life. The dangers of saying, I can go against God's word. Oh, there's a tremendous danger in those places. And they mock the danger, and then they wonder why God doesn't bail them out of the problem that they find themselves in. So omnipotence is not used sometimes because of a bad decision. Omnipotence is not used sometimes to put us into a test. You know, was the thing that we lost more important to us than the Lord? And over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about losing houses, losing good health, losing loved ones, losing the ability to make our livelihood. All of those become tragedies. Was the thing lost more important to us than the Lord? Even when we're losing a loved one, was that person more important to us than the Lord? That's a hard question sometimes. But it's something that we need to get settled in our hearts before we ever get into those kinds of situations. Was that house more important to us than the Lord? Was that job more important to us than the Lord? I've got a truck. It's not important to me at all. I smelled gas in that thing the other night. Maybe the thing's going to catch fire and burn up. And I was happy. Maybe it will. I'll make sure I can get out of here. Now, I found out I'd left a gas can in the back. It tipped over and spilled a little gas. Ah, I thought it was going to burn up. So that truck is not important to me over anything else. I won't tell you what brand it is. Sometimes God does not demonstrate his omnipotence in order to grow our faith. You know, Moses told the Israelites, stand still, be quiet, and see the salvation of the Lord. It blows my mind to think these people walked across on dry ground, they're watching a big wall of water here, and they keep going through that wilderness, wondering, where is God? Where is God? Why doesn't God do that? How soon do you forget those kinds of things? I don't think we really forget them, but we just love to complain. And so sometimes God lets us go through the life's hardships, life's tragedies, to test our faith, to grow it. You know, not receiving a miraculous outcome makes the Christian then to trust God more, or it makes him bitter and angry. Because then we become more dependent upon him. So we trust him because we didn't get the miraculous outcome. Maybe we didn't get that outcome that we thought on that health diagnosis. And it's just not looking very good. We find out whatever it is, and once we've gone through a tragedy, there's a new normal. And we need God's help in living that new normal. Sometimes the omnipotence is not used because it's not about me at all. It's about someone else. I'm just kind of collaterally involved. I'm just kind of out on the edge. But it's all about somebody else. Maybe it happened to me, but it's for somebody else to have the impact upon them. You know, Job never knew, I don't think, why he was experiencing what he did. Maybe omnipotence is not used because there's a larger good to be accomplished. A bigger picture that I cannot see. God's got some plans for my life, others' lives, down the road, and this tragedy occurred so that I can trust him. Maybe I had to get something out of my way, out of my eyes, so I could see God. Grieving a sudden loss, it hits us hard. And that's what this series is all about, is the sudden losses of something that was not expected. Grieving the sudden loss hits us hard. It turns our world upside down. Turns it into chaos. Turns us into numbness. And sometimes gives to us the form of a meaninglessness of life. How can I go on? I've lost this, whatever it is. Now what do I do? How can I bounce back from this? God wants to show us because he is the omnipotent, almighty God. And may we put our trust in him for all the things of life.